open up today in Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. So if you want to turn there, it will be on the screen. I was sitting home last night and we went to her sister's house and came back. And anyway, I was sitting home reading the Word. I was reading in Judges last night. You know, I was in Judges 3 when I started out and was reading through there. And I don't know what chapter I was in, but all of a sudden there was this fragrance in the room. Now, Tabby had already left. She just walked out and went to the bathroom and came back in. But there was a fragrance in the room. And I know the worship team talked about that fragrance last week, but it was a fragrance that I wasn't used to. It was a fragrance that was, when I smelt it, it was like, this is a different smell I've never smelt before. It was sweet. It was like harmonious. It was just this beautiful fragrance. And all I was doing was reading the Word. It's like, God, this is how you meet us. I just read your Word and you meet us in these moments. And it was just a fragrance. But what I know is that his fragrance has moved into the room. That his presence came into the room as I read his Judges, the Judges. You know, and how Israel would turn away and turn to different idols and be pulled and sucked away, and then all of a sudden they would what? Put away their idols and cry out to God, and he would get them a judge and a redeemer, and then they would go to war and bring them back in, and they would serve the Lord for a short amount of time, and that judge would leave or die, should I say, and then what would they do? And the Lord was so faithful, and through the judges. And then I was reading about Samson and how his mother and father, at least the mother, heard the voice of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came and rested and talked to her, said she's going to have a baby and is going to be, and giving her directions. And long story short, the husband didn't believe. He did believe, but he said, have him come back. And when he comes back, he cried out to the Lord, and he came back, and then he told him all these things. And what he did was he set up a sacrifice on the rock, and the angel of the Lord got in the fire and ascended to heaven. There is so much power in our Lord, and there's so much glory in him. And he knew, and they knew that it was the angel of the Lord. He knew it was the angel of God. It was Jesus himself. It was Yahweh. It was Jehovah that stepped into the fire. Anyway, there's so much good stuff as you read through the Word. And just as you read through the Word, that the Holy Spirit comes and just grabs you. And it gives you revelation, and it just gives you things that just inspire you, and then a sweet fragrance will roll into the room. Just be aware of your surroundings as you read the Word. Be aware of your surroundings. I mean, be engaged in the Word and the revelation of the Word, but be aware of your surroundings, because it's so subtle. It was so subtle that it was just like that brisk breeze came across, and that smell and that fragrance. And I had Tabby, when she came back in, I said, do you smell that? She said, nope. But that's how quick it was. It was like 30 seconds. Anyway, it's good to get with the Lord and just read and spend time with him. And he rewards you in little things. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Ain't that so good? As you men that have boys and you ladies that have girls, how they imitate you. You ever tried to imitate your dad? Men? Imitate your dad? We used to as little boys. As little boys we did. When we get older and we look in the mirror, then we see our dad, right? I noticed that about, oh yeah, I see your dad in you. I noticed that, you're just not quite there yet, but like it was about 7 years ago, And I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh my. I look like Dad. But it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And then he says, and walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I forgot that was in there. But fornicators, or fornication, and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Is there things that you're doing in your life that's not acceptable to the Lord? That's what that question is. Is there things that you're doing in your life not acceptable to the Lord? I'm going to expository on some of this opening scripture. I'm kind of feel like Sonny right now. That's the anointing, right? That's the anointing off of Sonny. But is there things in your life not pleasing to God? And if there is, what are we supposed to do? If it's not acceptable, it says finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What is acceptable to the Lord in your life? Is some of the things you're doing, are they acceptable to the Lord? Only you know those things, and only you and God know those things. And it says, and have no fellowship, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then he says this. We all know he says, therefore. Right? Therefore. Because of all those things, therefore, now, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we should. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is the dispensation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You ever do that when you get into the Spirit? You're by yourself, or you can even be with people, and you get into the Spirit and you just begin to make melodies. You just begin to sing to the Lord. It's a good time to be by yourself at times. You know, I need my personal time alone. And so I can get before the Lord and do those things. But it says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. But it says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. That's what I want you to get today, be filled with the Spirit, okay? So the title of the message today is Be Refilled of the Holy Spirit. That's my title today. Be Refilled of the Holy Spirit. So as we have talked, I think in the last week of December, I talked about what we're focusing in on for this year, and it is the Holy Spirit. And Johnny, as I talked to Johnny that Saturday night before Sunday, I talked about what our vision is this year, and is to know Holy Spirit, to know him, and he brought a great message last week of and just a demonstration of that cup being in the vase, and how we are in him and he is in us, and there is absolutely nothing that can get into that place, because water takes every space. But the problem is with us, I think sometimes is we put stuff in the cup. We could say rocks. We could say each thing that we are idolatry to, each thing that each thing that like are acceptable to the Lord, is this acceptable to the Lord? Do we ask the Lord, is it acceptable to you? But we place these things in the glass. Even though we are in him and he is in us, we have things that we still hold on to. Maybe it's an idolatry thing. Maybe it's a thing that we don't know if it's acceptable to the Lord. Maybe we think it is. Maybe we need to ask. Maybe we need to ask him, is it acceptable to him? So the Holy Spirit's prompted me this year to talk about him more, to know him more. And so, you know, we got to have Holy Spirit. But we got to have Jesus, and without Jesus, the Holy Spirit would never came. It's by the blood of the sacrifice of the cross that Jesus was able to sacrifice for us our sin nature and to redeem us so he could send the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit-filled life is not possible unless Christ goes to the cross. It's not possible at all unless he goes to the cross. That bloodstained cross Jesus bore so he could send the Holy Spirit to us. So there's a couple things that we want to focus on this year. And the Holy Spirit is the main one. Jesus is everything, and he's always our focal point, and he is always the common denominator. He is everything. But Holy Spirit is what is in the earth today, and as that is what is indwelling in us today, and Holy Spirit needs to be recognized. So, how many have the Holy Spirit? Is there people that don't have the Holy Spirit? Are you unsure if you have Holy Spirit or not? And this should answer your questions today. But here's another question. How many know the Holy Spirit? I mean, know him. And I think that is probably what is driving me today and driving me for the last year. Do I really know Holy Spirit? Do I really know him? I mean, know him. We know Jesus. We know God, the Father. But the Holy Spirit has been so neglected. It's that gift in December when I talked about the gift unopened. It's the gift that we open, but we don't know what it is. It might be a gift that we don't open and don't understand. But the Holy Spirit is what is dwelling within our hearts. He is dwelling within us, and he's in the earth. That's why Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and then the Holy Spirit could come. So listen to this. Before going to the cross, Jesus encouraged his disciples. In John 16, 4 through 8, and I'm going to read in a different translation today, so it's not on the screen. But in John 4, 16, 4 through 8 says, I'm telling you this now so that when the time comes, you will remember that I foretold you. I didn't tell you this in the beginning because I was still with you. But now that I'm about to leave and go back to join the one who sent me, you need to be told. Yet, not one of you are asking me where I am going. Instead, your hearts are filled with sadness because I've told you these things, but here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will expose sin and prove that the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgments. I like the way that speaks it, and I like the King James Version as well. But before he leaves, before he goes through the cross, before he goes through the Passion Week, he sits down with the disciples and he says, "Hey guys, I've been telling you that I'm going to leave. I'm telling you, I'm going away." And he really never talked about Holy Spirit that I see in the scriptures. He really never talked about him. He talked about him a little bit, but not like this. "Guys, I'm getting ready to leave. And I'm not coming back. But there is one like me that's going to come back. He's just like me. And it's really good that I go away, that he can come." And you know, his disciples are so full of like, where are you going? They're devastated. They just spent 3.5 years of their life with Jesus, walking out life with him every day, going from town to staying in different areas and seeing the miraculous happen, and even walking out into those places with their other disciple two by two, and they go out and they heal the sick and they cast out demons and they're doing all kinds of stuff for the gospel. And they can't fathom Jesus is going away, because here's the problem. Is your kingdom going to come now? That's what they were really saying. It wasn't that he was really going to go away. It was like, "Man, we thought, Jesus, that you were getting ready to take over this thing. We thought your kingdom was going to be set up right now." And Jesus said, "No, you're missing it. You're missing it. Because I'm going to send a divine encourager for you." So Jesus tells his disciples, "It's an advantage that I go away." You know, they can't fathom that because they were looking at a leader. You know, they got to remember the book of Judges. They got to remember how God would bring a judge in. See, they know the scriptures. They know the scriptures and how God would deliver them after they'd been suppressed and oppressed. And God would deliver them when they cried out. And they were thinking that Jesus, he is the Messiah, but he was going to deliver them out of the oppression, and they were going to reign and rule in the world. And that's coming. That is coming. But it was not yet, because there's so many things that had to happen. You know, the Holy Spirit is the second greatest gift given to the church. And we just don't open it. We don't use it. We don't know him as well as we should know him. I'm doing it off myself. I'm not off of how you guys understand Holy Spirit. I'm doing it off how I understand Holy Spirit, and I don't know him enough. And I'm going to tell you that, right? I don't know him enough. I know his urgings. I know his unctions. I know that, but I don't know him enough because I'm missing some things. And I don't know if I will ever know him enough, but I want to know him more. That's the point. I want to know him more. I'm not satisfied with just him indwelling in me. And I think that's where some of us Christians across the world are satisfied with just the Holy Spirit indwelling within them. And I think we miss so much because the Holy Spirit was supposed to do so much in the earth. And we just sit with Holy Spirit indwelling within us. And Holy Spirit, and that cup inside the vase, him and us and I and him, and when we go through the troubles and we walk it out, yes, we have to do that. We have to walk out those tribulations. We have to walk it out, because on the other side, I'm going to make it to the end. I'm walking with Holy Spirit, but I need to know Holy Spirit. I need to just not sit inside the vase. I need to sit inside the vase and walk out my life, but I need to reflect of Holy Spirit who he is and how he reacts to the people around and how I am supposed to portray the goodness and be the light to the world. That's what Holy Spirit does. He allows the light to enter us. He allows the Father, the Spirit of God, to dwell within us so we can be light to the world. But there's too many times, as I read in the opening scripture, there's too many times that we have darkness in our life. We have things that is not acceptable to God. And we walk those things out every day. We do these things every day, and it's an idolatry to the Lord. It's an idolatry to him. It's because we love those things more than we love him. Or we think they're compatible and they can live together. And they're not compatible and they cannot live together. What is the first greatest gift given to us? You guys know? Jesus with the salvation. The salvation that you can be redeemed. Salvation that you can be redeemed. And then this next gift is the Holy Spirit that will help you walk out your redemption life. Do you believe that everyone that has Jesus has the Holy Spirit living in them? Do you believe that? That everyone that has Jesus has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Here's the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended. He gives them this promise in Acts 1:8. He says, "But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be seized with the power." You'll be seized with power. That word seized means take hold of suddenly, forcibly. That's what that means. When the Holy Spirit comes, this is the promise that Jesus has given to his disciples that he's sitting there before his ascension. Right before he ascends, he says, you are going to be seized with the power of the Holy Spirit. Forcibly taking over yourself. He's going to forcibly take over. He said, you will be my message to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on the earth. This is his promise to them, to his disciples. Can we use that as our promise to us as well? I believe so. I believe when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he seizes you. Do you guys remember the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit dwelled in you? Do you remember? Some people might say, well, I didn't feel nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, as soon as you believed, as soon as you confessed him, Holy Spirit came and lived within you. That is the promise of God. There's nothing that you had to do except believe. And we'll get there in just a moment. So who can have the Holy Spirit? Anyone that believes. Anyone that believes can have the Holy Spirit. He is not going to, I don't care if it's a Muslim, I don't care if it's a Chinese person, I don't care if it's an Indian, it doesn't matter. Anyone that believes can have Holy Spirit. He is not a respecter of persons. He gives Holy Spirit freely to everyone that believes. So what does it take to get the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? So let's see, which we already kind of said, but Acts 10 will prove it. Peter goes to Cornelius' house and preaches the gospel. The Bible doesn't tell us that any of the people in the house said a prayer of salvation, but they heard the gospel. That's what it says. Ain't none of them come up front. None of them came up here and said, I got to say this prayer. None of them. Just to say a point. Here it says this in Acts 10, 44 to 45. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, he basically preached the gospel to them. So if you go back a few verses before, it says that Peter preached the gospel. All right? He says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Who are the ones of the circumcision? These are the Jews that went with Peter to the house of Cornelius. So Peter just did not go alone, but he went with a group of people to preach the gospel to Cornelius' house because Peter had a vision. And God said, go. And there was people that came and drug him to Cornelius' house. Not drug him, but took him to Cornelius' house. And they were amazed. They were amazed that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. Uncircumcised men received the Holy Spirit, and they thought it was just for them. It says that they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. See, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the house of Cornelius as they heard the gospel and believed. They were good people. They gave to the poor. Listen, now, this is what, when you go back to the beginning of chapter 10 and it talks about Cornelius, it says Cornelius was a good person. He was a really great person. And how many people do you see in the earth today? I know unbelievers that are great people. I mean, they are great people. And they give. They give better than I do. Honestly. There's a problem. There's something that occurs at work. Somebody goes through a situation at work and they're just like forking out the money. They're given. They're given to the hurting. They're given to the ones that are in need. They're good people. They just don't live their life right. And this is who Cornelius is. He's a good person that doesn't know. But he had a vision. He had a vision. And the Bible says that God seen Cornelius was good, his good nature, and credited it to him. That's what he said. He was not saved. Or he did not have the Holy Spirit, should I say. But it says that when they heard the gospel, they believed. The gospel of Jesus Christ that went to the cross, that died for their sins, that rose again on the third day. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And they probably told a little bit more than we did because they lived with him. They walked it out. And they're going to say, man, you know what? I was with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. This guy named Lazarus, you probably don't even know him, but he was dead 4 days. Man, he was dead 4 days. And Jesus, like, nah, no big deal. Jesus weeped for him. Man, I said, weep for the people. And then he called Lazarus out of the grave. This was so amazing. Cornelius, guys, we walked with this guy. We experienced these. Man, you know the leopards? You know the lepers? Man, you know how they're rotten, their fingers are rotten off and their skin is just falling off of them? Man, I tell you what, we was with Jesus. There was 10 of them. And man, every one of them got healed that we know of. One of them came back and glorified God, and he didn't even have to go to the priest. And he was set free. And not to tell you about this blind guy. Man, this blind guy was crying out to Jesus, have mercy on me. And he restored his sight. Man, this is the guy that went to the cross. This is the guy that stopped the waves. Man, we were in a boat. This is the gospel, man. We were in a boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and man, this storm rose up, and it was just powerful. Man, we were scared to death. Jesus, man, he's sleeping in the boat. This guy, the Son of God, he's the Son of God. He's sleeping in the boat. And the waves are just crashing. We're scared for our life. We wake him up. He said, be still. It was like nothing for him. And this Jesus, he is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And we watched him in this garden. He's in this Garden of Gethsemane. It's the wine press, called the wine press. And we were supposed to pray with him, and man, we didn't. We tried, but it was the middle of the night. And we were tired. We'd been out moving, doing all kinds of stuff for Jesus that day, and we just fell asleep. And when he came to us, I said, why are you sleeping? And we seen the blood from the stress that he was under. And he was in the place of the wine press. And this man goes to the cross. Man, you don't even know. Before he went to the cross, they took this cat of nine tails and they scourged him. Man, I've been beaten, but I haven't been beaten like this. And they scourged him and they ripped his skin from him. This is the gospel they were preaching. And then they said, and then he carries his own cross to the place called Golgotha. And they strapped him down. And they drove nails in his hands and in his feet. And he laid there on the cross. And then all of a sudden, darkness come upon the land. I don't know what happened, but we scattered and we ran. Only John stayed. But we were scared for our life because we thought we were next. And then all of a sudden, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour, there was this earthquake and there was this opening of the ground, and all of a sudden the temple and the veil rent. And then they took this spear and they jabbed it in him, and water and blood came out, and he was gone. And we were afraid because we thought he was this guy that was going to redeem the earth. And we all went back, run away out of that town. And we were mourning him. And then like 3 days later, it's unbelievable, Cornelius, that 3 days later, these women go to the tomb. 3 days later, we're all mourning, but these ladies go to the tomb, and they meet this angel. They said, "Who are you looking for?" He said, "He's not here. The stone is rolled away." This is the gospel that he preached. And he said, "You know what? We seen the risen Lord. He came to us and we seen him. And I know for a fact that he is the Son of God. I know because I walked with him and I watched him die on the cross. I watched him put him in the grave. And 3 days later, he rose again." And man, and at that moment, before I watched him leave, and go back into heaven the way he came down. They said he's going to come back the same way he left. He came down in a womb, I'm sorry. And I know that this is the true Messiah. And he told us, he said, go to Jerusalem. And he said, wait there, because I'm going to send you one just like me. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you one that is just like me, and it's better for me that I go away. He said, there's this Holy Spirit that's going to come. And as they heard these words of the gospel, they believed. See, it's more than just preaching the gospel that Jesus died and rose again. When you preach the gospel to people, you need to let them know all about the gospel. You need to let them know all about what Jesus did in the earth. It's like when you read the word, you begin to experience him. You get to live out those things that the disciples lived out. You got to experience Jesus. When you want to preach the gospel to people, it's more than just saying, yeah, you know what? He's going to cleanse you of your sins. I'm going to tell you why he's going to cleanse you of your sins, because he is the Son of the living God. He is the one that came in the virgin womb, and he is the living God. He was a miracle when he came in. He is a miracle when he left. He is the living God. When they heard the gospel, they believed. In Acts 10, 45 to 48, it says, the Jewish brothers who had accompanied Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the people who weren't Jews. For they heard them speaking in supernaturally given languages. Don't that scare us? Not really. But it scares people. It scares people. These people were uncircumcised, not Christian, not Jew, and they began to speak in a tongue that they'd never heard before. Now, back in the day, that was a sign. Do you have to speak in a tongue? And we've talked about this before. Do you have to speak in a tongue to prove that you are, the Holy Spirit's living in you? No. Is it a benefit? Yes. Yes. So it said that they... for they heard them speaking in a supernatural given language and passionately praising God. Passionately praising God. Now, they were new converts at that moment. Do you remember when you was a new convert? How did you act then compared to how you act today? Right? You ran a lot more? How do we act differently today than we act at our conversion to the gospel? How are we different? I remember this church actually grew because of there was a cell group that happened and somebody got caught on fire with it. Brought her whole family in. We were just talking about this the other night. Brought her whole family in. And things' lives began to change. Are we still that same person today? Is the Holy Spirit power in us like it was then? Is it still the same today? And if it's not, you probably need to be refilled. Because they passionately praised God. Do you passionately praise Him? I know our worship team is getting to a place of worship and getting to a place of praise. And as they said last week, last Saturday night, I don't know what happened this Saturday, but last Saturday night, they come, after they practiced their songs and did all the stuff that they did to work through those things, they shut the lights out. And they began to worship. I don't know what songs they sang. I don't know what they did. But they began to worship. And then something began to happen in the room when they passionately began to worship. See, there's something about when a group of people come together in like-mindedness and begin to passionately worship and praise the Lord. Something begins to happen because the Holy Spirit loves that. And then the angels love that because they want to come in and worship with you. And what they said was, Saturday night, there was a fragrance that moved through the room. A fragrance of the Holy Spirit moved through the room. That's not the only time that's happened in this place. There's been many times that that's happened in this place. There was a group of men came in here and did some soaking one time. Laid across the chairs. Different places. I think it was on a Monday night. Laid across the chairs and just began to listen to Graham Cook, wasn't it? Just listen to Graham Cook across the speakers. And no one knows what the other one's doing because they're all in different pews and different areas. And I think when it was all said and done, you all began to talk about what the Lord was doing. And everybody smelt the fragrance. Begin to change their lives. It began to change the reality that it's more than just sitting here listening to some words. It's more than just opening up your Bible and reading it. It's more than just, it's a reality that God is present. It's a reality that He is good. It's a reality that He wants to communicate and show off in front of His children. It's a reality in that we should passionately praise Him because He is good. It goes on to say, Peter said, how could anyone object to these people being baptized? For they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he instructed them to be baptized in the power of the name of Jesus, the anointed one. After their baptism, they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. Listen to that. What are they baptized in? They baptize in the power of the name of Jesus. And I like what he says. He says they received the Holy Spirit just like we did. That's amazing because when we go back to Acts 2, right? Is it Acts 2? And it says that the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind. I wonder if it sounded like that unto Cornelius. When Cornelius and his family, or the people that was there, did it sound like that when they came in? It doesn't say, but I would just wonder, because he came and seized them And when he sees them, they begin to speak in a language that unknown to them, a supernatural language. It was a sign to Peter and his foes that they have the Holy Spirit. And it is the same Spirit that lives within us because we spoke that same thing. We did those same things. It's the same thing. It's the same Spirit. It's not demonic. It is the Spirit of God that dwells within. And all they did was heard the gospel. All they did was believe. So when the Holy Spirit comes, there is a change in a person and the atmosphere around them. And we talk about this in Acts 2, 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit is coming like a mighty wind. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with what? One accord. Where were they all at? In one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. It doesn't say fire, but as of fire, like fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Powerful. Powerful. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the indwelling of the Spirit living inside you. If you believe, if you are a believer and you believe what I just told you, and there was something that resided, just if you've never had Holy Spirit in your life, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you just heard the gospel this morning, and you believe that, Holy Spirit just went inside of you. That's what it says. See, I'm telling you, there is a need for being refilled. There is a need to be refilled or refreshed with the Holy Spirit. Now, you're all believers. You've all accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior because you believed in Him and the works that He done. You believe in the Son of the living God. You believe in the gospel. Now, Holy Spirit dwells within you. And now, I can go back to when I was saved and how the Holy Spirit moved in my life, and you can too as well, because there was an encounter that happened in your life. And you begin to tell the world, your world, your people around you, that you got saved. But there is a need to be refilled, because if you're not doing that today, if you're not acting like you was that day when you got accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit or refreshed. You got me? That's why the 21 days of fast, you might not have fasted 21 days, but the focal point was to focus on Jesus. The focal point was to get to know Him, to understand that I need to change, I need to reset my life, I need to get back to the understanding of knowing Him. And what I seen was, the people that did that, they begin to get refreshed in the Holy Spirit. They begin to get refilled in the Holy Spirit. Even though you had just been filled not too long ago, I know people that just filled not too long ago, accepted Christ as their Savior, and all of a sudden they got refilled and re-energized and just begin to emit the goodness of the Lord, emit the Holy Spirit. It's like a press being pressed upon them, and just begin to pour out Holy Spirit. How many ask for refreshing or refilling of the Holy Spirit daily? If you don't, you need to. If you don't ask for a refreshing or refilling, you should make that a common practice in your life. Or should it be a common thing? What do you think? You think it should be a common thing? Then today we need to start it. This is our new thing. We see in Acts 4 that Peter and John were arrested. Look at that. Two chapters later, they just get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not too much of a time. They get arrested. Peter and John. Already filled with the Holy Spirit. Power. Might. 3,000 people saved. Sonny talked about this morning. 3,000 people saved. Ain't it neat how we line up today? Holy Spirit is working. And the Sanhedrin, they are addressed by the Sanhedrin. They're thrown in jail. And they are fearful for their life. Honestly. They are fearful for their life. Jesus has just died on the cross 60 days, 70 days, 80 days, something like that, just be prior. They're after the disciples, you know, they're after them. Because they don't want this name Jesus preached anywhere. They don't want to see this church explode. They're blaspheming, basically. They're saying, you're blaspheming. And Peter and John are arrested, and they have to go to before the Sanhedrin, and they're scared. I'm just telling you, they're scared. They have Holy Spirit, and they're scared. They've already poured out all the stuff that they got on Acts 2. They've already poured themselves out and been preaching the gospel and doing things, and they're scared. And the Sanhedrin said, you are forbidden to preach the name of Jesus. You are forbidden to preach that name. That's coming into the earth. It's going to come into the earth. I don't know if it's going to come in the United States, but I'm going to say probably it's going to come to the United States. It's already here. You are forbidden. And it says that they what? No. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness. And that's what we need. Listen to this. Acts 4, 23 to 24. And being let go, they let them go. They said, don't you preach. Don't you preach in the name of Jesus. They let them go. They went to their own companions. So where did they go? They went to their own people, right? And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Skip down to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place that where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were what? All filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is the reason why you need to be refilled. It's not enough just to be sitting in the glass. That is perfect, sitting in a glass. But you need to refill that vase. You need to refill that every day. You need to refill it. You know, even if you're not out preaching the gospel, you're not out doing the things that maybe you need to be doing, but you're just reading your word, you still need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit daily. Because the Holy Spirit comes to do a certain things in your life. He's here for a reason, not just to indwell within you and make you live a life that's easier. He's here to do a work in the earth. So listen, they were all refilled with the Holy Spirit. Refilled. That means it's not enough just for the first time to get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough. That's to set you on fire. That first infilling, when you accepting that first indwelling of the Holy Spirit, sets you on fire to change your life. It sets you on fire to get rid of those things that you have placed in your glass. The things that are not acceptable to God, but you think are. Right? So what we know is everyone that has heard the gospel and believes has the Holy Spirit within them, right? I love this. I love, this is one of my favorite chapters, favorite verses. Verses, Romans 10, 9 through 13. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You know, and I like, he puts this in here. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And this is what I see among Christians. Is they are shameful of the gospel. And I always wondered why would you be shameful of the gospel. Now, inside this building, you are not shameful of the gospel. And I'm just saying inside the church building. I'm just relating you to all the churches around the world. I just say you guys, okay? The church is shameful of the gospel. Even when you get saved, you're still shameful of the gospel because of the world around you. Because the world around you condemns you for being a Christian. Just the way it is. And when people that you know, you used to drink with, you used to party with, oh, well, you got that religious thing going on, they put you down. You're not like us anymore. And we get ashamed of the gospel. And we forget, and we don't tell people the magnitude of what he has done in our life. We get ashamed. You know, we should not even be ashamed of our sin because you know what? Christ brought us out of that place. And when we tell our friends, it's like, hey, I don't have no urge to drink. I have no urge to smoke. I have no urge to do these things because, man, I got something better with inside of me. And you tell them about the gospel. You tell them about the truth. But that's the problem, is there is a shame. There is a shame, and we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Period. Inside or outside of this building. I like the way you put that in there. He who believes on him will not be put to shame. He will elevate you. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are marked with the Holy Spirit when you believe. You are marked. The enemy knows that you are marked with the Holy Spirit because you are not in darkness anymore. I don't know if there is an aura, and I think there probably is. There's an aura around us. There's an aura around people, and there is a darkness around certain people. And I think that we all were in this dark place. There was this dark aura around us. And then when you receive the Holy Spirit, there becomes the light inside of you that glows that you can't see, but the enemy and the spiritual realm can see the glow of the Holy Spirit in you. There is something that happens that they know that you are a Christian. They know that you have accepted Christ as your Savior. They know that you have been redeemed. That you are a redeemed individual. And so as we begin to land the plane a little bit, do you really know Holy Spirit? And this is where the crutch of it all is. Do you really know Holy Spirit? And this is probably where I'm sitting at today. Do I really know him the way I should know him? We know the urging. We know the unctions. We know the convictions. Maybe we don't act on those convictions, and maybe we think that it's acceptable by God, but because, you know, God blesses us anyway in our sin sometimes. He does. I see Christians all the time being blessed. But there's no conviction. If there's no conviction and you don't understand the conviction. So we really need to know the power living on the inside of us. Man, we need to know that power that lives on the inside of us. And when we go pray for the sick, we need to know the power that we carry. The Bible tells us it's the same power that raised what? Jesus from the grave. Now, that's carried on inside of us. But we keep it subdued. That's what's amazing to me. I keep it subdued because I don't know him enough. I don't know him as well as I should. And I've neglected being refilled with him over and over and over and over. And I've been satisfied with what I've lived. Quit being satisfied with the way you've lived in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome, right? What else does the Holy Spirit do? Comfort? Teach? What else? Gives you peace. Gives you gifts. Voice of reason. Gives us endurance. How about guidance? Conviction. The ability to witness. To be the hands and feet of God. With the power and authority. To bring revelation to the Word. To bring revelation knowledge. Wisdom. Righteousness. We understand what righteousness is, right? It's this way, right? Jesus said He is the light of the world. What are we supposed to be? Light of the world. Living in on the inside of us, light of the world. 2 Timothy 1:1-6 says, I don't think I got 1-6, but it says 1. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts. So here we are. How do I get more of the Holy Spirit in me? Or have you ever cooked something? Or maybe it's paint. Let's just use paint. Have you ever painted a wall and then you took the paint and you put the lid back on it and you set it in the shelf? And then a year later you come back and say, man, I need to repaint that, or there's a mark on the wall, I'm just going to paint over it. What do you have to do to the paint? Why? Because of what? Separates. It settles. Right? The heavy pigments begin to settle to the bottom of the can. Right? The color's still there, but the heavy pigments settle. So what do? Shake it up. Right? Get your stick out, stir it up. This is what he's saying. This is what Timothy's saying. He's saying, stir up those gifts that you've let settle in your life. See, as Christians, we get comfortable of coming into the church. This is our daily Sunday activity to do. Every morning we got to get up. It's a routine. We get up at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever it is. Some of you get up at 9 o'clock and rush in the door. Some of you get up 9:30 and come in after worship. I like to see you guys change seats. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. I don't mean to do that, but I did. He's my buddy. Listen to me. We as Christians, we get so in a place of just normalcy. And we get so comfortable of just walking in the doors. That we're going to sing 5 or 6 songs and we're going to not really maybe press in, but we're going to come in and check it off that we went to church. And we're going to leave today and we're going to go home, and those things that are probably not acceptable to God, we're going to indulge in. And we're not going to do anything different today than we did last week. Or you're going to want more. Stir up the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. This is, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit. Stir it up. So, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. Listen to me. I want you to listen to this. This is up in the earlier verses. God finds no pleasure of the things that you are controlled by of the flesh. He finds no pleasure. Because we are controlled by them. And if you really, it's okay to be saved. It's okay to accept Jesus as your Savior and believe that He is Lord. It's okay. But God wants more out of you. He wants more for you. Because, man, I tell you what, man, time is short. Time is so short. And as we watch the things unfold, as this president that we are underneath right now, in the last 2 weeks and 4 days or 5 days, whatever it is, he has done so much in the earth. And he has changed so much in the earth. And this is just only, I don't know, 18 days, 19 days, whatever it is. And what is coming in the next 30 days? Is the way of our Lord's return coming back? Absolutely. Absolutely. Are we going to be satisfied just being normal or just being common? Or are we going to press in? My job and Sonny's job and whoever gets in this pulpit is to entice you to a relationship with God, that a relationship with the Holy Spirit and a relationship with Jesus that just burns on the inside of you. That's our job. To entice you to a place of wanting more of Him. We can preach the word and we can give you everything that we have. If you do not act on those words, and you do not act and move, you're going to stay the same. Last night I went out to the barn. I've been out in the barn quite a bit. I see my weight bench and I walk away from it every day. And there's things that's going on in my body. So I sleep like this, okay? I sleep like this. I don't know if some of you sleep with your head elbow up. And when I'm sleeping, I don't even know I'm sleeping, and my arm's all contorted, and it's numb, and it goes to sleep. You know, I don't know if you guys ever been there or not. It's like, man, I never had this problem when I was young and strong, and my muscles were there, but I haven't been doing anything for years. I've just kind of, you know, I'm strong. I'm still strong, but I'm weak. I'm weaker than I was 4 years ago. My muscles have fallen, kind of dissipated a little bit. I still have the same stature, but it's kind of sagging a little bit, and right? And my arms is not as big as they used to be. My shoulders are not as big as they used to be, but I still have the same structure. I'm still the same size as I was. I'm just not as big in muscle. And I can walk into that garage every day and choose not to get on that weight bench. I can walk in there every day and choose not to jump a rope. I can walk in every day and choose not to hit a heavy bag. I can walk in there every day and choose. It's still there. The pieces of equipment are still there. I just shut the door and walk out. Or I can choose like I did last night and walk out and get on the weight bench. You know what I had to do? I had to take weights off and put lighter weights on. Why is that? Because I lost what I used to have. Some of you here today have lost what you used to have. You used to be full of the Holy Spirit. You used to be just pumping the Holy Spirit, just driving you. And now you're weak in the Holy Spirit. Somewhere you need to take action. And I begin to take these dumbbells and pick them up and pull them up here and begin to work my shoulders. And you know what? The repetitions were like minimum because I couldn't do it like I used to. The weight was less. What do I got to do today? go back out to the barn. I got to go back up and pick those weights up. And I got to begin to work those muscles again. And this is what the Lord is calling you to today. The Holy Spirit needs to be refreshed in your life, not just to continue normalcy because it dissipates over time. So put on some music, put on something that's kind of upbeat. I don't care, whatever it is. That's fine. And so I want to give you a chance today. And I want Sunny to come up. And all we're going to do is lay hands on you because this is what the Bible says. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you have to move and you have to act. If you want to be refreshed in the Spirit, you have to move, you have to act. You have to do something. I can't do nothing for you except you come and act. When Cornelius asked Peter to come, he had to go get Peter. And then Peter preached the gospel. So I'm not going to give you, I'll give you a little time, but I'm not going to wait. This is just a thing that we're going to walk out what the Word says. It says, stir up the Spirit that is within you by the laying on of hands. That's what it says. So we're going to lay hands on you if you want it. If not, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray us out. Anybody that wants to be refilled with the Spirit can come up and walk out these doors as we lay hands on you, okay? If you want to stay at the altars, you can. If you want to pray and seek God more, you can. So Father God, I just come before you and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I thank you that you give us correction, oh God. I thank you that when we believe, you fill us with your Spirit. And there's nothing that we have to do except believe on you and the gospel.